Well, this evening we have our brother David here to bring us the message, and he would be happy to have your silent prayers for him and also your careful attention. Brother David.
Thank you, Marvin. Sometimes we doubt ourselves when we get up here to speak. And I had doubts about what I was going to say this evening, and then Russell got up this morning and said it for me, so I guess the Lord has something, kind of a message here. If you remember, Russell said, I hurt. I'm uncomfortable, discouraged, that type of thing. We all get that point. It's nothing new to the Lord. And this evening, I'm going to talk about my week or week and a half. And then we'll do some comparisons. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun doing it. Well, my week of mechanicing, my neighbors flooding our property, and so I needed to use my tractor and go do some ditching and stuff with the front end loader, and it cost me 5 gallons of oil to do half hour's work. I said, this isn't good. Oil's expensive nowadays. So I call up this guy I know that does farm repairs in Olathe and told him my problem. My main cylinders on my loader need seals put in. He said, well, I can do that. He says, but you'll have to take them off for me. And I said, okay, I'll see if I can do that. Well, next thing I know, his dad's pulling in the driveway with a pickup, wants to pick up the cylinders. Well, I hadn't even touched the tractor yet. So it took me 3 hours to take those cylinders off by myself. And he went downtown and helped somebody finish building the deck. And then he came back just as I was getting the cylinders off and load them up in his truck, and away he went. I thought, well, at least that'll be one thing that I won't have to worry about. And so I went to fighting weeds and using the mower, using the weed whacker, anything I could to get the weeds knocked down. I call it my weed erasing. I go out and try to erase weeds. I need to spray them, but I haven't got around to that yet. But I'm getting them knocked down. Then I decided to work on the car. I'd ordered new headlights for the car, so I got those put in, and one of them would not adjust, and they were a little high. So I tried adjusting that, and the adjustment wouldn't work. So I went into Napa where I bought it, said, hey, this don't work. You going to cover it? Yeah, we'll cover that. It's brand new. I said, yes, it is. So they told me the other one would be in next day. And I thought, well, that means another trip to town next day to get the headlight so I can get them adjusted so people don't get mad at you when you're driving at night. So I go back the next day to work on that headlight, and he has it. And I said, now this is an exchange and a warranty. He said, okay. He says, I said, do you want to keep the box? Because the box is huge. The headlights are big. And he said, yeah, we'll keep this box right here. And I said, okay. So I walked out with a headlight, started taking the headlight out of our car. It takes me about 2 minutes to do. And I turned around, and he's standing there. He said, they're yelling at me because you walked out with that headlight. And I said, well, what do you want me to do, pay $150, walk out the door, and then go back in, and you pay me back? He said, well, just make sure it comes back in. I said, I'll be in about 30 seconds. And he says, okay. And he went back in, and I finished unplugging the light and walked in with it, and I said, here's your light. And So I thought, you know, that's nothing like it used to be. People used to trust you when you walked out a door and said, I'll be right back. And so it kind of got my head spinning a little bit. You know, you can't even make a simple exchange without somebody wanting $150 for you, from you. And I had just put $300 in the car trying to get the check engine light off. Have not been successful. Go to AutoZone and they say, well, it's this. Well, it's this. Well, now it's this. And I'm replacing everything in the car. Might as well buy a new car. We've been driving it for a couple of years, that light on, so I guess we'll drive it for a couple more until I can figure out what's going on with it. And then I go out and I'm working on the tractor and my pharmacy calls. And they're in Denver, and they're the only pharmacy that I can get my anti-rejection drugs from. And so they said, it's time for your medication. Do you any changes? I said, no changes, all the same. Okay. Do you feel safe in your home? Do you still live at 3043 B Road? What other medications are you taking? Well, this goes on. And I said, you know, really? You ask me this every time I tell you there's no change, and then you want a list of my medications that you don't even sell me. They come from a different pharmacy. I said, really, it's none of your business. And I was getting a little put out because I'm out here in the middle of my pasture working on a tractor, and they want to know all my medications. And she says, well, we can call back later, sir. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm halfway back to the house. I'm going to go in, read the medications to you. I said, I know you got the list right in front of you. And she did, but they won't take your word for it. No trust. No trust at all. So I was a little bit put out. And then I get kind of an upsetting phone call from Steve Wiesner. He says, we've been evicted and I don't have any place to move to. Well, I know a little bit more about this story than Steve remembers that he told me. I said, why are you being evicted so soon, Steve? And he didn't answer. And that gave me the rest of my answer because I knew he asked for the eviction to try to get the government to pay because Tanya cannot work because of her illness. And so he was playing the system, and it worked halfway, but then the system stopped on him, and he was all put out about it. And I said, what do you want me to do about it, Steve? He said, just pray for me. And I said, okay, I can do that, but I can't find you a place to live. You're on your own. And then Tanya Witz was on the phone, and she said, I think I found a place for us, Steve. And then he went on to explain to me why he hasn't been in church. He's been sick. He's got reinfection in all of his stuff. And they quit his medical. Well, the only reason why they'd quit his medical is because he's not following doctor's orders. I know that to be true. It's called getting fired, isn't it, Kathy? You don't follow the orders. They get tired of messing with you. So you're fired. So I was a little more upset. Well, I go to start my pickup. The battery's dead. I'd been babying this thing and stuff, and it just absolutely died on me. So I jump start it, go down to batteries plus. I'm trying to back in to a spot because it's a very tight spot, and my old Ford doesn't turn very sharp. And I'm backing up, and this guy comes shooting off a 25 road and whips in front of me with another truck and takes my place. I had to hit the brakes to keep from hitting him. Count to 10, Dave. Pull forward, back up beside him. He gets out. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going around the building. Well, backup lights don't say you're going around the building. It says I'm backing up into this spot. Oh, I'm sorry. And he walks off. I said, yeah, you're sorry, all right. And So then I have to go to the bank and on my way to the bank, a state patrolman pulls in behind me and follows me. Every turn I make, he follows me and follows me and follows me. I go, come on, I fixed the brake light that was out. What can he be after now? And so I pull into City Market there where my bank is in Clifton, and I go left, and he goes right. I went to the bank, he went to City Market, and I go, well, that was one that didn't come bite me, at least. And so then I'm going to City Market. It's 3:30. All the kids are out. Talk about rude and loud and rambunctious. And the parents won't discipline them. And the parents drive their grocery carts like they drive their cars. Frustrating as could be. But I got my groceries, go to head home, meet a flatbed pickup. He throws a rock through my windshield. That figures. Yep, that figures. It's just the way it goes. This week has just been wonderful. So then, the guy's dad, the mechanic, shows up with the hydraulic cylinders. Ready to go back on the tractor. I said, well, the tractor's not ready to go. He says, well, I got to hook it up to the tractor to set the seals. And then the hydraulic pressure has to set the seals. I said, I'll do it later. I can't do it right now. So he takes off back to Olathe. These cylinders are heavy. But I managed to get him up on the tractor. And this was the next day. And start putting the thing together. I work all day on it. It's got what they call a retainer ring on the end of those cylinders that holds the seal in. You think I could get that retainer ring in on either one of those? It's 95 degrees out. I'm sweating like a pig and just tired. I go, this just is ridiculous. You know, everything I do, I'm spinning my wheels. I just can't get ahead. And so I called the mechanic because he had offered. He said, you know, if you need help putting this loader back together, why, give me a call. So I gave him a call. He says, well, I don't want to go to Grand Junction just to put those seals in. He says, sometimes you can take a thin screwdriver, because I'd gone to town and bought the pliers that you use to spread them to get them on, but when I just about get them spread, they would go boink and twist, and I couldn't get them on with one hand. I tried baling wire, duct tape, all the little things that my MacGyver moves that I do to get by with one arm. Nothing worked. Nothing. And so I was pretty frustrated. And so I went out and checked on a field. And then when I was coming back, and just to make a long story a little bit shorter, I got my tractor stuck trying to get rid of the water. Had to pull that out by myself, but I had seen my neighbor lady on the road, walking down the road. And so she's younger than I am, and she looked like she was 90 years old. And I'd seen her about a month ago, and she looked good. And so I pulled over, and I said, Stacy, what's going on? She said, oh, you hadn't heard? I rolled my four-wheeler. She said, I broke my back in seven places. I broke two ribs, punctured my lungs. I had pneumothorax pneumonia. She says, I have to exercise, and my left leg's all swollen. She says, I don't know what I did yet. She says, Dave, I'm getting too old for this. I said, I know what you mean, Stacy. I said, last year was my year. and got me to thinking. You know, I'm upset because I can't get anything done. Stupid retainer rings. I spent 6 hours on so far. I haven't got done. So I got to thinking about Job. Sometimes I relate myself with Job. You know, nothing's going right. I'm sick. I hurt. Everything aches. I'm tired. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. And there's Stacy out there who just got a new job and lost it. She just got out of school for medical assistance. So she has her MA degree and she got a brand new job and lost it in the first week because she can't work now. I thought, Job, you and I got some things to discuss, but look at Stacy. Look at other people. I'd seen a guy in City Market. He didn't have a left arm. He didn't have a left leg. They were both prosthetic. You know, he's in worse shape than I am. So as I looked around, I thought, you know, let's look at Job and see what happens. So Job chapter 30, verses 12 through 21. This was a time when the kids were picking on Job. And he said, upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet. They raise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. They have no helper. They came upon me as a wind breaking in the waters. In the desolation, they rolled themselves upon me. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. In other words, his muscles were sore. He couldn't sleep. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. Jeannie has to be quiet right now because she's the one that posted this. Malia and David, I got a job for you. Come on up here and pass these out. Give half of them to Millie and give Marvin one. This was something Jeannie posted about a month ago, and I copied it. I said, boy, that makes a lot of sense. You know. And as you read through this, it goes right along with how you feel on a really, really bad day. It says, today was the worst day ever. And don't try to convince me that there's something good in every day, because when you take a closer look, this world is a pretty evil place. Even if some goodness does shine through once in a while, satisfaction and happiness don't last. And it's not true that it's all in the mind and heart, because true happiness can be obtained only if one's surroundings are good. It's not true that good exists. I'm sure that you can agree that the reality creates my attitude. It's all beyond my control, and you'll never in a million years hear me say that today was a good day. That's a little bit depressing, isn't it? But I tell you, when you have a bad day, it is depressing. Just ask Job. He wrote it in something that we study all the time. Then I get to thinking about my neighbor, trying to walk down the road, looking like she's 90 years old, busted up, hurting, unable to work. And I look at myself, and I'm getting my strength back. Yeah, I hurt. Doctors told me I was going to hurt. I don't sleep at night, but that's bound to be that way. Kathy says I ought to be on pain meds. I say, no, I don't like pain meds. I'll take aspirin, but I'm not going to drug myself so that I can sleep. I just don't like doing that. Well, then this afternoon, I spent a couple hours with Rita O'Dell and Joe. Neither one of them's feeling good. The smoke in the valley doesn't help. You know, when you have respiratory problems, those things just add to it. I'm kind of having problems with that because I work outside all day long, and it affects my eyes, it affects my lungs. I'm coughing more than I was. Then I look at the guy at City Market that doesn't have a leg and he doesn't have an arm. I've got my legs. I should be thankful that I have both my legs. I have the ability to work. I should be thankful that I can work. Stacy can't work. I look at myself and say, you need a boost. You need a redirection in your way of thinking. So I grab my cell phone, I call my son. I said, can you help me for a little bit? He says, I'll be right over, Dad. Well, John shows up, we go to work on those cylinders with 3.5 hands, we had them together and on the tractor and the loader put together and everything within an hour. The mechanic told me it takes about 4 hands to put those things together. Well, I could see why, because when you're in the cab of the tractor, you cannot even see the loader. It's behind the bracing. So there's no way you can line up the pins without 100 trips up and down. And you got a jack on each side trying to adjust it while you're moving around and stuff. And with my son there, I got it done. Got it done quick. Went down and closed up the water so the flood quit coming onto our place. I ended up with an attitude change. Said, you know, I don't have it so bad. Who's Stacy going to call and say, give me a job? Who's the guy in City Market going to call and say, give me back my leg and my arm? I'm going to read in Psalms. Chapter 37, verses 21 through 29. Psalm 37, 21 through 29 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. So with an attitude change, and I start thinking about these things, I'm not in such bad shape. And I just hope that I can please the Lord and not be like Job in your darkest hour. But Job turned himself around, didn't he? So I figure if Job can do it, I can do it. I didn't have near the problems Job did. I want to go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 26 through 33. Sixth chapter of Matthew, 26 through 33, the words of Christ. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. I didn't do it. Nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a familiar scripture, one that we hear quite a bit. Trust first in God, and then these other things will be added to you. I want to go back to chapter 5. Of Matthew and read 41 through 48. Again, here, these are the words of Christ. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, we might not like everybody in the world, but we should treat them with respect. We should treat them like we would want to be treated. And we should look to the Lord when we have times when we have needs. So now I want to look at this paper that we handed out again. Let's take a look at it. What are we going to do now, Jeannie?
Read it the other way.
Read it from the bottom to the top. Let's start over. Let's have a change of attitude. Bottom to the top. Today was a good day. And you'll never in a million years hear me say it's all beyond my control. My attitude creates the reality. I'm sure that you can agree that it's not true that good exists. Only if one's surroundings are good, true happiness can be obtained, because it's all in the mind and heart, and it's not true that satisfaction and happiness don't last. Some goodness does shine through once in a while, even if the world is a pretty evil place. Because when you take a closer look, there's something good in every day, and don't try to convince me that today was the worst day ever. Does that change your attitude? Read it backwards. Look at things from the bottom up. Get to the foundation and then build on that. I want to go to Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 12. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give goodly gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's a lot easier to do these things if you read from the bottom to the top, because you don't get discouraged, you don't get depressed, and you don't start thinking about your own misery and your own pain and the fact that I can't sleep and I can't do anything, right? You start looking at it and you say, you know, while I was working on mechanicking and weed whipping and stuff, I would get tired. I can only hold a weed whip for so long, and I got to put that thing down and do something else. So I started painting my tractor. Tractor's sitting there doing nothing. Might as well paint it. I got a bunch of that tractor painted. It looks better than it did 20 years ago. It'd been painted before, I found out, because I started seeing other colors underneath the paint that's wore off. And some places were getting rusty, and so I used the Rust-Oleum to stop the rust. And you know, that was a good thing. That's just something that I've never taken the time to do, because I never really had the time. But I had the time, and I was able to do it. And so my weeds are getting whacked down. My tractor's starting to look like a new one instead of a 1968. And it's not leaking oil. It always has leaked oil. Ever since I bought it, that thing has had a puddle of oil in it somewhere. But I work on this, work on that, get this fixed, get that fixed, and I'm down to a drip or two of oil. And there's a lot of hydraulics on that tractor, so it takes a little work. Yeah, it takes a little work. It takes a little attitude. But when I look at people and I say, yeah, you cut me off. Yeah, you threw a rock through my windshield. Yeah, your kids are rude. I go, if I was driving the truck that threw the rock, was it my fault? If I have a bunch of kids and they just got out of school and they're all hyper and stuff, can I control them? I've been there, I've done that, I raised four kids. I don't want to do it again. But I've been there. When I see my neighbor walking down the road and she can barely move, I've been there, I've done that. And yes, I'm getting too old to do that. But when it happens, we have to have compassion. We have to have the attitude that says we care. Faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of those is charity. I want to go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Peter was with Jesus Christ in his ministry. And then he took the time to leave us this kind of hope and inspiration through these words that he recorded. When we think on these things, you can't help but say, yeah, I think I could do better. I know what Peter went through. I know he had a hard time. But look how beautiful a life he lived in the end. I want to read verses 16 through 19. Same chapter. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Boy, when you're feeling dark, and you think about a day star rising in your heart, and that light is born within you, and spreads to those around you. Thank you, Peter, for those words. Thank you for that inspiration. You know, people will criticize you when they see things going wrong and they know that you're a Christian and you believe in God. And they might ask you, "Where's your God now? You know, you had a pretty miserable time here. Where's your God?" Well, God hasn't left. Sometimes we can push him aside, but he doesn't leave. He's still there. I want to read in the book of Jude 17 through 22. You don't know the the books very well. You say, well, what chapter? Jude's only 2 pages long. 17 through 22. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. That's what I was saying about, you know, he threw a rock through my windshield. He took my parking spot. But we have compassion, and it makes a difference. And others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present your faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What can you say to add to that? There's times when people have to reach out and help us. There's times when we have to reach out and help others. But God is always there to help anybody that's willing to ask. When I was with Rita this afternoon, she was looking at Philippians. And I'm going to close with this, what she was reading. It's the last chapter of Philippians, chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Thank you.